I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sports Overnight America, a different kind of show. We'll talk the economic side of sports, political side of sports, all side of sports. You can email us at sportsfred@AOL.com, sportsfred@AOL.com. We're heard, of course, on Sirius 217, XM 203, all the apps. I love TuneIn, Sports Byline, Sports Map, American Forces Radio. Gals and guys, you stay healthy. Radio stations, including KSHP 1400 in Las Vegas. Mark Mancini will be with us, World's Worst Sports Handicapper, Art Source from Galaxy Sports will be with us. A couple of great books we'll discuss, baseball, the turbulent mid-century years. We're talking between the Depression and the Dodgers moving west. This should be a very interesting interview. And later, Kingdom quarterback, interesting story about the city of Kansas City, Missouri. Not Kansas City, Kansas, as a former president once said. Kansas City, Missouri. And the quarterback, of course, Patrick Mahomes. What's happening in sports? Well, let's see. If you're a Spectrum consumer, a Spectrum customer, guess what? You don't have ESPN. You don't have ABC. You don't have any of those channels on Thursday night. They were pulled. No agreement between Spectrum and Disney. How do you feel about that? I have DirecTV. I don't have my local Channel 5 across America under the same network. You don't have your local channels either. So it's, again, the customer getting screwed. Greed, greed, and more greed. And talking about that, we're down to the pack too. Cal and Stanford joined the Atlantic Coast Conference. I love it. They had to pay big bucks, and they're not going to get any TV money for many years. You know, I was just thinking, fourth grade, geography class. Your teacher says, well, Berkeley's on the West Coast. And you say, no. It's in the ACC, Atlantic Coast. And who's right? Who's wrong? What's going on? You tell me. I don't know. I'm confused. Email us, sportsfred@AO.com, sportsfred@AO.com, and talk about being confused. Artie Moreno of Angels. Oh, he picks everybody up, and now he puts them all on waivers. And now we don't know about Ohtani. We don't know about anything. They're not going to – I guarantee you they're not winning the World Series this year. All straight away and a whole lot more on Sports Overnight America.
Hey, y'all. My name is Tiara, and a little thing that I love about the Chick-fil-A spicy chicken biscuit is that it has the perfect amount of spice to jumpstart my day. Whoever thought of it, thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Robert, and a little thing I love about Chick-fil-A spicy chicken biscuit is the biscuit. It reminds me of my grandma's homemade biscuit. It's always buttery and savory. Then you add the spices, instant classic.
Order the spicy chicken biscuit on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real Chick-fil-A guests paid for their testimonials.
School on!
Save on! Back to school is on, and Staples has great prices on everything you need for your best year yet. Save on notebooks. Save on headphones and laptops. Save on pens, markers, and all the essentials. And right now at Staples, save up to 60% on select notebooks, markers, and more. School on, save on at Staples, where school savings are always in session. N729. Prices may vary in-store and online.
Are you looking to sell your house? Call 1-800-SELL-FAST to request a free all-cash offer. We can buy your house in days, and you don't even have to clean or fix anything. There are no commissions or closing costs, no agents, no open houses, and no banks to deal with. Call 1-800-SELL-FAST or visit sellfast.com to request your cash offer. There's no obligation. Call 1-800-SELL-FAST. That's 1-800-735-5327. Or visit sellfast.com to get your free cash offer. SellFast is a home buyer referral service. Each office independently owned and operated.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sports Overnight America. And I'm Fred. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, along with the world's worst sports handicapper in the universe, not just the world, in Mark Mancini, former kicker for the Trojans and the Rams, hard source. There's so much to talk about. Later, we'll talk to Steve Getchier, baseball, the turbulent mid-century years. We'll talk to Mark Dent, Kingdom quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, the city of Kansas City. But I want to talk about what happened on Thursday night to anybody that had Spectrum across America. Right before the Florida-Utah football game, Spectrum pulled Disney, all of Disney's channels, including ABC and all the ESPNs, what else Disney may own on Spectrum, no deal. And Art, I know that you're not a Spectrum customer, but Mark is. Mark, how did you feel when you noticed that you couldn't get the football game?
Well, I noticed Spectrum didn't call up and say, we're going to give you a discount now. That's the first thing I noticed. It's just, you know, like you guys say, it starts with a G and ends with a D, and greed is a big thing. And funny how, like Art said in the pre-chat about, you know, they do it just before the college football season and all this. No negotiations go on during the summer on this. They wait till, you know, it affects everybody. And you know, I the more and more I look at today's society, it's almost like we're reactive instead of being proactive on a lot of things.
Hey, Mark, how much did they offer you? Hang on, how much did they offer you back for not having any of the sports Disney Channel?
Nothing.
They didn't offer you anything?
No, they didn't offer me nothing.
Because DirecTV, honest to God, we don't get our local Channel 5, and across America, the same network, Nexstar, owns a station in your area. They offered us $10 back, which is worthless, because wow. I watched Channel 5 or locally for the news, and I don't have it for the last 2 months. Okay, Artie, how do you feel? You don't have DirecTV, you don't have Spectrum, but how do you feel about the customer being screwed again?
Well, it just seems like, you know, and we've talked about this, you guys. ESPN has gone from 120 million viewers down to 56. You know, they had 13 channels. Now they've cut back to like 8 channels. You know, Disney's hemorrhaging. Their stock's at $80. Once was 190. You know, I think people are finally ready to go ahead and go for a la carte programming. Yep. Where you pick, I mean, do I need 1,000 channels, of which 980 of them I don't watch? That's ridiculous. I'd rather pick the 20, 25 channels that my wife and I watch, She loves her cooking channels. I love news and sports. You know, we'd probably be able to do that. I'd be willing to pay a couple, $3 for each channel. Instead of having a $240 monthly cable bill, you know, it'd be $75 to $100. But, you know, then I could do my Netflix and my Hulu and my Amazon Prime. It just makes no sense to me at all, Fred, because the consumer should get what they want. I mean, for me to have 1,000 channels, like I said, I didn't even know some of these channels existed, Fred. I wonder how they make any money. I mean, it's like, you know, I was watching the game show channel the other night, which it threw me back to the 70s and the 60s. I'm watching, you know, Bill Cullen and Art Linkletter and Arthur Godfrey and Wink Martindale. I mean, I love those guys, but really? I mean, that's stuff I watched in college 45 years ago.
I actually was on the Game Show Network. We actually won on a show called My Cousin and My Wife and Myself. We won on a game show called Common Knowledge about 5 years ago.
You know, so, Fred, this should be regulated. They should regulate this stuff where these guys like Disney can't come in here and dictate the pace or Spectrum or somebody. They need to be government regulated to the point where, you know, you got to be killed at a certain level of accountability here. You can't just take channels off and still charge people like this. You know, that's just not right. And, you know, it's kind of like what I've always said, what made, you know, teams carpetbagging in the middle of the night, leaving cities that they've been in 70 years. They shouldn't be able to do that. You should be able to sell it to a local investor and keep the team in the city. They were there before you even bought the team.
Yeah, the Mayflower trucks with Bob Irsay.
Yeah, yeah.
That was bad news. Very bad. You know, people in Cleveland.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
People in Cleveland, you know, Art Modell, I mean, he was vilified. I mean, you know, when he took the Cleveland Browns and took them to Baltimore. But go ahead, Fred, what were you going to ask me?
I was going to say, is Palo Alto on the West Coast or the East Coast? Could you help me out here?
Well, it could be the East Bay, maybe. I don't know. The San Francisco 49ers play pretty far from San Francisco now. So, you know, hey, I did notice something. Forbes came out with a great report, Fred, talking about the franchises that are worth the most money in the NFL. Uh-huh. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys came in at $9 billion. Right. The Raiders are up 22%, double their value when they moved to Las Vegas and built Allegiant Stadium. They're worth $6 billion. Al Davis is probably rolling in his grave right now going, wait a minute, how did this work? My son gets all this money and I built everything. But I also want to say Josh Jacobs is coming back for the Raiders, so that's a good thing. I'm excited about college football, you guys. The weekend is just a wonderful Labor Day weekend full of excitement. There's some big games coming up, and I just felt bad for all the fans
on
Spectrum that didn't get to watch, you know, the worst Florida football team I've seen since 1960. I mean, I don't know what that was all about. I mean, how can a program like, I'd rather see Steve Spurrier calling plays than, you know.
Here's the problem I got. And, you know, if we're not going to get a top 10 schedule in football, then okay, so be it with these conferences. And I know the kids are going to be traveling, and I know the hardship with that. But at least we're going to have some marquee games. I got a buddy going to the Coastal.
Mark, have you seen Georgia's schedule?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Hostess Twinkies. It's the cupcake schedule of the century.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I got a buddy going to the game tomorrow. Coastal Carolina is playing UCLA. You can get in there for $8, $9 and sit anywhere. And as much as I love USC, hammering this squad, San Jose State, now get in Nevada on the schedule. I mean, let's bring these powerhouses in here and let's get football where it should be.
I remember in the 70s when UCLA would host Ohio State, or SC would have Michigan come to town. And I mean, you're talking about 90,000 people in the Coliseum where UCLA and SC played.
Yeah.
It's like, seriously, and you know what you're going to see when we do go to the 16-team playoff? You're going to see more of the scheduling kind of come that way, because now you're going to be able to have one or two losses and still get in the tournament. The way it's set up now with the CFP, you can't get in the tournament if you have more than one loss.
Not only that, Fred, and I know you're a big UCLA guy, and I don't know if it's USC coming to UCLA. Forgive me of where I'm going with that one, but The only marquee game on this schedule is Colorado coming in, I think, October 28th. And that's the big highlight of the UCLA home schedule. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Hey, let me say this as far as the switch from the Pac-12 to the Pac-2, only Oregon State and Washington State remaining. Everybody else
got a chance to be the champions, though.
Now the ACC.
They kind of feel like the castaways.
Now the ACC indicates that the non-revenue sports, they're going to play on a neutral site.
In Dallas.
So what am I?
In Dallas, in the middle of the country. That was part of them letting SMU in.
So my point is, that's not fun for a kid. You want to play on the home site of the other side. That's part of it, the fun of it, playing in front of a anti-U crowd. And now
you know
you're
what
not
else is really sad, Fred? Oregon State has the best team they've had since the big pumpkin D'Andros back in the 60s.
Right.
They're ranked number 15 and 17, depending on what poll you look at. They have DJ Ungulele from Clemson. They got a coach that's done a great job, this Jonathan Smith, who's an Oregon State guy.
Right.
And this is an exciting football team that's really playing great football. We're going to see. They're going to play San Jose State, you know, tomorrow night or tonight or whatever, whenever it is, whenever you're listening to the show. But the point I'm making is, it is really sad. Now, I was hoping that maybe we could get the Mountain West to assimilate the two teams that are left from the Pac-12 and then have a West Coast conference maybe. Maybe call it that. Maybe call it something of that nature, because then you'd have two seven-team leagues, and I think it would be great. I looked at the, you know, all the teams, Boise State, UNLV, UNR. It's going to give them a chance to have kids recruiting advantage for kids who want to stay home and play ball.
Art, in 30 seconds, we got to go to a break. The Rams, where you played 45 years ago, 43 years ago, as a kicker, of the starting defenders from 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, they got two left, two remaining. They go up to Seattle the first game of the season. I love the Seahawks here. Artie, who do you like?
Seattle's going to probably crush him. First of all, Stafford hasn't even introduced himself to the young kids. His wife, who does a podcast, she's basically saying that they have nothing to talk about because they can't get their phones out of their heads. I mean, it's like a generational gap in a locker room. I mean, and we're only talking 12, 14, 15 years difference. It's amazing.
All right. Later, we'll be talking to Steve Kishner and baseball, the turbulent mid-century years. Later, we'll be talking to Mark Dent, Kingdom quarterback, all straight away on Sports Overnight America.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. That's 800-918-4086. Paid for by the IPG Law Group.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Sports Overnight America. I'm Fred. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. And interesting book, Kingdom Quarterback. Mark Dent and Rustin Dodd wrote it. Mark's with us right now, and published by Dutton. You can get it at Dutton or major bookstores everywhere. I'm sure you can get it at Amazon. And hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Fred. Thanks so much for having me.
Story of Patrick Mahomes, and also the story of Kansas City, Missouri. Now, a former president thought it was Kansas City, Kansas, but folks, we are actually talking about Kansas City, Missouri. When I first saw Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, I got to be honest, I knew he was setting records. I thought he was good, but I had no way on earth thinking he'd be as good as he has become in 5 years. Mark, how about you?
Well, I certainly didn't think he would be as good as he has become. And I wonder if even Chiefs now general manager Brett Veach, who was a fan of Mahomes from his early years at Texas Tech, I can't imagine even Veach would have thought that Mahomes would turn into this good of a quarterback. But, you know, when Mahomes was at Texas Tech, he was really considered like the Rorschach test of the NFL draft. Like, you can look at him and see this guy who can throw the ball 60 yards off balance with like an L with like a three quarter or sidearm throwing motion and be really frightened and think like, this isn't how the NFL is supposed to look. And you could think like, oh, the Red Raiders, that, you know, Texas Tech are the Red Raiders, their offense never translates to the NFL. Or you could have seen Mahomes throwing all those wild passes and, 500 yards for some games and just being like, hey, if I build my offense correctly around this guy, he's going to change the game. And that's what the Chiefs saw. And that's what's happened.
You know, a very interesting tidbit that you had in this was the following. 4.8 in the 40. Looking at him in the backfield, I would have sworn we're talking 4.5. You're telling me all he can run is 4.8. Come on.
That's real fast for a quarterback. Yeah,
my point is, doesn't he look quicker than that? Mark Dent, tell us about that.
I think there's and I think we might have used this somewhere in the book, but if not, I've certainly heard it, that Patrick Mahomes, he runs just as fast enough to be faster than the guy behind him. Like he just has some uncanny ability to get just enough. And you saw that, for instance, in the Super Bowl last year, where he had, of course, a bad ankle. And in the fourth quarter, he had the important run. I don't remember if it was on third down, but it was, of course, a very crucial play where he gets 15 or 20 yards. And you're just like the whole time you're thinking, oh, they're going to get him. They're going to get him. They're going to get him. And then they don't. It's a very strange ability, and a lot of it definitely comes from the way Mahomes has trained over the years to kind of have this body that's, you know, it doesn't look like your prototypical quarterback or even your prototypical, I think, superstar athlete, but it just gets the job done.
Mark, is already sourced.
Take it over.
What I was going to ask you was, Patrick Mahomes' dad was a very successful major league pitcher.
Yeah,
he grew up in some clubhouses with some great athletes, along the way. Do you think there's a little bit of him paradigming with some of these great athletes that he saw, seeing their work ethic, seeing what it took to become, you know, as incredible as some of these players were? I have a funny feeling this kid has moxie. He is a professional, is what I'm trying to say. And, yeah. And I know Lee Steinberg pretty well, his agent, and he says the guy is just amazing in terms of how he treats people, you know, from all walks of life.
Yeah, and I'll get to the kind of growing up in those clubhouses specifically, but first I'll say this in terms of like that kind of the way that he treats other people and that moxie you kind of mentioned. If you talk to people who know Patrick Mahomes when he was younger, they'll say that he seemed always a little bit old for his age. You know, when he was 10 or 12 years old, he was kind of helping the coaches design plays. When he was in high school, he knew when to tell people to kind of like shut up. Like that's not something you should be saying. That's not something you should do. He was always he just seemed like, you know, just a bit more mature, a little bit of an adult, and
a lot also, of leadership skills.
Yeah, and also pretty charismatic. Like, you know, he wasn't going to go out and give speeches or something like that, but just very friendly and holding conversations well with adults, even when he was a teenager. And then when you talk about like that work ethic and growing up around those major league clubhouses, you know, his father dropped a lot of names of people who Patrick got the chance to meet and, you know, maybe do infield or outfield practice with. And some of those names that he mentioned were, of course, Derek Jeter, Cal Ripken Jr., who was kind of like on the late stages of his career when Pat Mahomes Sr. was playing. And then mostly Alex Rodriguez, though. And I didn't interview Alex Rodriguez, but I know a Kansas City Star journalist did a few years ago, I think during Mahomes' rookie year. And A-Rod even said that he kind of remembered Patrick Mahomes when he was this, I guess he would have been, you know, 5 or 6 years old at the time, maybe even younger. But he like had this memory of like, wow, this kid is just sort of actually caring like about the game. And I think like being around those clubhouses and obviously having a dad who plays professional baseball, it makes you think realistically that you can become a professional athlete. And so Mahomes always had that vision. And I think playing with those superstar athletes probably gave him even more of a leg up.
We're talking to Mark Dent. The book is Kingdom Quarterback. And let me throw this question and then Mark ask a question. This is more than a football book. In this book, you're also talking about the city of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. When I say the city of Kansas City, I'm saying the white side and the black side. And Patrick Mahomes happens to be partially black and partially, and his mom is white. And the history of having to sign a covenant saying you cannot sell to a black person and things like that. So talk about Kansas City, Missouri, and how Patrick Mahomes has gotten people together because they win with him. And even the white racists can't say he's not a great quarterback.
Yeah, well, you know, this early in Mahomes' career, we didn't want to just do a biography of Patrick Mahomes. It's too early for something like that. But we wanted to tell was what's really happened over the last few years is, I think, a pretty interesting phenomenon where you have a city that had previously kind of been down on its luck, certainly with sports teams, but in a lot of other aspects, it gets this incredible superstar. And so we wanted to take that opportunity to also tell the story of Kansas City. As you mentioned, it historically has been segregated along racial lines as well as class lines. And while it certainly isn't as segregated as it used to be, it still is, as most cities are. It's still pretty racially segregated and segregated by income as well. So Kansas City had this famous or maybe even infamous developer named J.C. Nichols, who was a pioneer of racially restrictive covenants in the U.S. And a lot of his ideas spread around the country, and those helped make cities segregated because there was like these language on the deeds for various subdivisions saying that you had to be white to live there. And you know, 50 years later, some of those patterns are still in Kansas City. They've been changing a little bit in recent years, but there's also been a lot of issues as Kansas City has kind of revived with like a better downtown and things like that. But there's also huge affordability problems now, and you continue to have some of these segregation problems. You know, Patrick Mahomes, I'm not sure he certainly isn't going to fix them. I mean, he is just a football player. But at the same time, the Chiefs are kind of like the backbone, like the glue of the city. And, you know, some people who I've interviewed for this book, just kind of, you know, your everyday Kansas Cityans, they kind of describe him as a balm. They've said that it's he's basically everybody's favorite player. And it's really good to have a consensus superstar in the midst who can kind of make everyone happy.
Mark Mancini, you're on with Mark Dent, author of Kingdom Quarterback.
Well, Mark, don't hold it against me. I'm a Pittsburgh boy, so I can relate to all the good quarterbacks coming out of Pittsburgh. But I grew up with Terry Bradshaw and, you know, Dan Marino's. And then I always thought nobody's touching Tom Brady's 7 Super Bowls. And I know they're throwing Patrick Mahomes in this category, 2 Super Bowls, I think, in 3 years going to the big dance. But I'm going to flip this a little on the side of when you look at Brady and Mahomes, I think Brady is the bar in some instincts more so because the luxury of Mahomes playing all these championship games in his backyard, I think 5 years in a row, avoiding one or two of these teams where he didn't have to go to Buffalo or Cincinnati. How much does that play into it? I know, you know, not to disrespect Mahomes, but I've seen Brady take it on the road and go into hostile environments in Pittsburgh and do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. I think like the easy counterpoint to that is, well, the Chiefs have earned home field advantage for all those games. They had a better, I mean, they lost to the Bengals during the regular season last year, but they had a better regular season record. So Mahomes has probably been fortunate.
Mark, in his defense, it wasn't exactly balmy in Kansas City in the last 3 championship games.
It was frigid for a couple of those games, no question. And I'm trying to, I don't have the record here in front of me, but the Chiefs have been excellent on the road. I think it would be cool in some ways to see Mahomes have to go on the road in the playoffs just to kind of see what would happen. But, you know, we haven't really seen that yet, which is frankly amazing.
Mark Dent with this Kingdom Quarterback. More on Sports Overnight America right after.
Do you have 3 ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-345-2789. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-345-2789. That's 800-345-2789. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-345-2789.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number.
The Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 Smart Bed is now only $899, plus free home delivery when you add an adjustable base. Ends Monday.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's code GAS11. Use code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Are you looking to sell your house? Call 1-800-SELL-FAST to request a free all-cash offer. We can buy your house in days,
and you don't even have to clean or fix anything.
There are no commissions or closing costs,
no agents, no open houses,
and no banks to deal with.
Call 1-800-SELL-FAST or visit sellfast.com to request your cash offer. There's no obligation. Call 1-800-SELL-FAST. That's 1-800-735-5327. Or visit sellfast.com to get your free cash offer.
SellFast is a home buyer referral service. Each office independently owned and operated.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight America. I'm Fred. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. Steve Getcher is with us. Baseball, the Turbulent Mid-Century Years, the most interesting book from the Depression to the Dodgers moving west. And Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the chance to talk about my book.
What gave you the idea to write about it? Because, I mean, there's so many baseball books out. This one's a little different. What gave you the concept? What gave you the idea?
Well, I thought it was needed. There are some basic baseball books that cover earlier periods of time. Two in particular, written by Harold and Dorothy Seymour. The first takes baseball up to 1903, when the American and National League came to an agreement to stop fighting each other. The second goes up to about 1930. But there's nothing since then. And Sabre members and baseball researchers over the past 50 years or so have done an enormous amount of work on baseball history. And I thought it was time for a summing up, a chance to bring all of this together. There's some original research in this book, but there's also a lot of research done by other people that I brought together in what academic historians call a synthesis.
Let me say this. I follow sports pretty closely for my entire life since the age of five. But to me, the most interesting part of this book was our getting into World War II and the ball players getting into World War II. One of my dad's heroes was Hank Greenberg. Mm-hmm. And okay, so he went in. And then there was Ted Williams, who was he in? Was he not in? And Joe DiMaggio, was he in? And was he not in? Rather confusing. And also politically, it was a major issue to a lot of people. Talk about that.
Yes. Well, baseball's relationship with World War II was indeed very interesting. Basically, the owners of major league teams wanted to do their patriotic duty as long as it didn't cost them any money. They wanted to keep the game going, and that meant to them keep as many players as they had on the field, but still they wanted to appear patriotic. Early after Pearl Harbor, let's see, Pearl Harbor was December of 41. In February of 42, the commissioner of baseball writes a letter to the president of the United States, Franklin Roosevelt. It says, Mr. President, we're about to start spring training, except there's a war on. What should we do? Now, I think it's interesting that Landis wrote that letter in pencil to the president of the United States. Now, I don't care who the president is. Don't you think that's just a little bit disrespectful? And Roosevelt writes back, and his letter became known as the Green Light Letter, giving baseball the okay. And baseball was ecstatic. In fact, the Sporting News said, we know it's only February, but we think he should be baseball's man of the year already. But if you read that letter carefully, Roosevelt says some things in there that are subject to varying interpretations. He says, I think you should keep baseball going. He said, but of course, players have to do their duty if they're drafted. Well, and then Roosevelt also says, and I think we should have more night games because we've got people working the day shift in plants and in government offices, and we should have more. And of course, there were a whole bunch of teams that weren't too keen on night baseball in 1941. So it was a green light letter, yeah, but it was a green light letter. The green light was flashing a little bit. It was a little bit uncertain. And what don't realize is that letter sanctioned the 42 season, but there were debates every offseason, 43, 44, 45, should baseball continue for the next year?
Interesting. Steve, tell us about, and then Artie joined us. Steve, tell us the story of Ted Williams, because I found that I thought I followed sports pretty closely. I'd never read that. Tell us that story about Ted Williams, in or out.
Yeah, well, exactly. Williams is known in baseball history as someone who served his country in World War II and then in, again in Korea. And that is true. And of course, in Korea, he piloted a fighter plane and was in harm's way. His wingman, incidentally, was John Glenn, the future astronaut. But in World War II, I mean, Williams was young. He was successful. He had had, of course, a marvelous season in 1941 when he hit 406. And I think he, like many other people, said, you know, if you can fight this war without me, that's okay with me. You know, we talk about the greatest generation. Maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, you know, not to denigrate in any way the service that millions and millions of Americans gave, some of them, of course, giving their lives. But Ted Williams was, you know, if he could continue to play baseball, okay. And so he, you know, he says, well, I'm in, I'm out. You know, I might be drafted. I may have passed a physical. Maybe I failed the physical. Finally, the public pressure becomes so great that he does sign up for a naval pilot's training program and does join the Navy and the Marines and becomes a pilot. He's so good as a pilot, he's immediately named an instructor. So he's not sent to the Pacific or to Europe to engage in combat in World War II. That doesn't happen in Korea.
All right, the book, Steve, Baseball, the Turbulent Mid-Century Years. Artie, you're on with Steve.
Yeah, Steve, I wanted to talk to you about some of the great Hall of Famers who actually served their country in World War II and in Korea. In relation to the guys, you know, we always heard about Pete Gray, the one-armed player for the St. Louis Browns, and the fact that a lot of guys got chances to play in the big leagues that wouldn't have got chances to play in the big leagues. But give our friends out here on Sports Overnight America an idea of some of the great Hall of Famers who served their country patriotically.
Well, certainly we should mention Hank Greenberg.
Right.
The Congress passed the first peacetime draft in American history in the fall of 1940. Greenberg was drafted early in 1941. And the commitment then, this of course is before Pearl Harbor, the commitment was for a year's service. Greenberg enters the Army and he's due to be discharged early in December of 1941. And in fact, he is discharged. And what happens a couple of days later? The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Well, technically, Greenberg had already done his duty, but he turned right around and reenlisted and served his country in the Army actively 1942, 1943, 1944, and half of the 1945 season. He gets discharged after Germany surrenders, before Japan surrendered, comes back, joins the Tigers, hits a bunch of home runs, leads the Tigers to the American League pennant, and to a triumph in the World Series against the Cubs. So he's upmost in my mind. And of course, maybe the player that people also remember is Bob Feller, young star in the prime of his career, joined the Navy, was in combat, did risk his life for his country, survived, missed, you know, four seasons, I guess, and comes back in 1946. Older, you know, pitchers get old. He missed the prime years. And when you look at his career numbers, as he rightly pointed out for the rest of his life, my numbers would have been a lot better if I hadn't done my patriotic duty.
And the same you could say for Ted Williams with 521 home runs. You could throw four more years of 35, 40 home runs in there.
Right.
And that's unbelievable.
Yes, it is unbelievable. Yes, yes. And of course, a lot of others as well.
Steve, I'm looking at you and I'm saying to myself, if you had a Marlboro cigarette, you could do a double for Jimmy Leland.
Gee, thanks a lot.
That's a compliment. So I want to talk about the era where I know this is baseball, but baseball and football in the 70s, to me, nobody can touch those decades. And the reason why is I don't want to talk about the six teams or seven teams that were in the 50s and 60s and all that. I don't want to disrespect that. And anything after the 80s and 90s and everything, maybe you had a couple teams in there. But in both those sports, nobody touches the 70s in baseball and football. You had 8-9 teams in baseball that could have actually won the World Series, and I think the same thing goes in football. Am I on to something, or am I throwing smoke into the wind because everybody's copying that world's worst handicapper that Fred has coined?
I remember the 70s too quite well, and I think you make a very good point. My book ends in 1960 the last season of two 8-team leagues. I think the 50s are a terrific time in baseball history as well for a variety of reasons.
Let me ask you a question. The book, of course, Baseball, the Turbulent Mid-Century Years. You know, in the entertainment field, and let's go back to the political aspect and the war and the whole thing. In the entertainment field, politically, you had, let's say, Henry Fonda on one side and his very good friend Jimmy Stewart totally on the other side, and remained friends as long as they didn't talk politics. Now, Bob Feller was very, very right-wing. He always had been. My question is, and I don't think you mentioned this in this book, but were there arguments politically between specific players as far as right-wingers, left-wingers, yes, no, whatever?
I don't know. I rather doubt it. Certainly, I would be inclined to say that baseball players were less interested in politics, as maybe most Americans were. And certainly we didn't divide in the 40s and 50s like we did in recent times. I mean, you know, if you look at the two presidential elections in the 1950s, 1952 and 1956, both the same candidates, Adlai Stevenson and as a Democrat, Dwight Eisenhower as a Republican. Eisenhower, of course, had served his country in the military, had not been involved in politics at all. He was courted by both political parties to run for president. The Republicans wanted him and the Democrats wanted him. That wouldn't happen today. I don't recall reading about any political arguments between ballplayers.
Well, that was an era of compromise, Steve.
Well,
that's
yeah,
when people actually got things done for the constituents of their, you know, of their areas.
Yes, that's certainly true. Yeah, but you know, I don't recall those kinds of arguments between players on the same team or even players on different teams. You know,
let's go in our last minute. I got to ask you this question. I did not know Walter O'Malley. But to me, Peter O'Malley was the nicest human being I've ever met in the sports industry. And for many reasons that I mentioned on the air, and Steve Sachs tried to get me fired. Peter O'Malley told Sachs, get the hell out of here. And this whole when I was doing Dodger talk. But anyway, nobody was nicer to Peter O'Malley. Six, 7 weeks ago, he lost his wife, Annette, after 50 years. Walter O'Malley is being, you know, slammed by a whole slew of people. But if the people in Brooklyn, Mr. Moses particularly, had moved a little bit, maybe they wouldn't have come west. Quickly tell us that story.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, O'Malley had assumed total control of the Dodgers. He wanted a new ballpark. He wanted the city to give him the land through eminent domain. Public land for a private purpose. He wanted to build the stadium, oddly enough, where the Brooklyn Nets play now, where their arena is. Moses said no. The mayor, I think, Robert Wagner, didn't quite believe that when O'Malley was threatening to leave, that he meant it. And he got a better deal, at least partially a better deal, in Los Angeles. And so he left. You know, if you remember the Brooklyn Dodgers, and I do vaguely, friends who grew up in New York, and I certainly do, O'Malley is the devil incarnate. But if you live in Los Angeles, he brought us Major League Baseball. We deserved Major League Baseball. We got Major League Baseball.
Well, they would have never drew 3 million people a year, no matter what kind of stadium they had in New York.
Well, that's true. I mean, Ebbets Field was certainly obsolete. Yes, no question about that.
Stephen Gitcher, thank you so much for appearing on Sports Overnight America. The book, Baseball, The Turbulent Mid-Century Years, published by Nebraska Press. And folks, seriously, if you love baseball, you will love this book. And Stephen, we've loved your appearance on Sports Overnight America. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Great job, Steve. That's awesome.
Thank you. All right, more on Sports Overnight America right after.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. I'd like to thank our authors tonight, the author of King and Quarterback, of course, Mark Dent, and along with Rustin Dodd, and very interesting book, Patrick Mahomes and the City of Kansas City, Missouri, if Donald Trump might be listening, not Kansas City, Kansas, and baseball, the turbulent mid-century year. Stephen Gitcher, thank you guys very, very much. Artie Moreno, thank him for anything. Well, Mark, tell me what he possibly can be thinking. He gives up the young kids for players that might get him into the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs. So now he's let go of five players by waivers. Please explain what's going on with the Angels and Artie Moreno.
Well, and a good friend of mine is their GM, Perry Manassian, and I just can't figure it out. I think they thought they had the horses to get, you know, Ohtani where he wanted to go. But I've been saying this for a while. You should have traded Mike Trout 3 years ago to the New York Yankees and got a boatload of prospects. They've held on to him. He can't seem to play a full season. We don't know what Ohtani's going to do. And then I thought I saw everything till I saw the seven guys that were picked up at the trading deadline, and all seven went their way except Randall Grichuk. He hasn't been picked up yet.
And they gave a lot of cachet of young kids to pick these guys up, and then they jettison those guys. And I just don't get it. I mean, you know, I've been watching the Angels for 60-plus years, six decades, and they have the worst juju, bad karma of any franchise I've ever seen, Fred. And I love them. I mean, they're the Halos, the lovable losers for many years. If it wasn't for the 2002 team – led by Mike Scioscia, you know, luckily they have that one world championship. But I'll tell you what, I think they need to go back to basics. I think they need to let everybody do their thing, put $50 million into the farm system, do the Houston Astros, Baltimore Orioles, Tampa Bay plan, the Dodgers, yeah. The Braves, find a farm system that produces the young kids. There's
Fred,
no secret.
You were saying – Betts and Mahomes, I'm telling you, the Clippers and Angels are mirror images.
All right, that's about it for this version of Sports Overnight America. Let me just say very quickly, Artie Moreno may have saved $5 million. To Artie Moreno, $5 million is absolutely nothing Nothing. All right, for Mario.
Maybe you should cash in for the $3 billion.
More later on Sports Overnight America.